everybody, have a seat, relax. So, we did a lot of living in a short amount of time, didn't we? A lot of eating, a lot of torch lighting. Hey, you know, to put something like this on, it takes a lot of people to do a lot of things. And at this point, everybody who was on the crew, would you guys mind standing up so we could recognize you? Come on, stand up. Give them a hand, you guys. Thank you very much. I was talking to somebody on, you know, yesterday, I think. It's kind of cool to see how people are when they come Friday and then how blessed they are by the end of the week. Some other people that have done a lot here and not necessarily right here is everybody that helped with Children's Fellowship and Roving. So is Jill Dagen here?
Yeah.
Okay, Jill, stand up. Give Jill a hand over there. Jill is the mayor of Bud Lake. No, it's not. She's the empress of Bud Lake. No, that's not true. But she is the recreation coordinator for Bud Lake. She's the fun coordinator. So, for the town of Bud Lake. Oh, there's her husband over there wanting to have some fun. Okay. So, then another person that did a lot and very much behind the scenes, but if the parents aren't happy, then it's not a good thing. And that's Ken Shum. He coordinated the Rovers. Ken, stand up over there. And I know probably about one third or half of you helped with Children's Fellowship or Rovers or whatever. And I really appreciate it. Because, you know, this is an advance for the whole family, and not all the whole families are here right now. There's a lot of kids over there. By the way, we need to have some more children around here. So some of you guys that are married, turn on the love. You know what I'm saying? Okay, look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. You know, some of us have been in God's Word a long time. And some of us have gone through some disappointments. You know, in life, sometimes there's disappointments, aren't there? Yes. Wasn't Milagros' teaching fantastic? Yes. And she's gone through some disappointments, and a lot of them she brought on herself. Yet, she chose God's Word. And she's a great example of what she taught, is that she had some disappointments in her life. She chose, made some wrong decisions at times in her life, and was under some leadership sometimes that let her down, and you know, but you know, she did a lot of great choices. She chose God's Word and had a lot of deliverance, and now she's really turned on to God's Word and has helped a lot of people along the way. Some of us have been around for a while and we've been disappointed sometimes. Maybe a leader's been disappointed. Maybe we've disappointed ourselves. Maybe sometimes we even think God let us down, but he really didn't, right? Like Dr. Verwoerd used to say, if it never comes to pass, it's still his word. You know? And we sometimes, you know, don't live up to the word, or other things happen. Farther along, we'll know all about it. You ever heard of that song? I don't understand everything sometimes, and neither do I. But you know what? I'm just dumb enough to believe the Bible. Don't take that one too far. Okay, so, hey, look at this. This teaching is about the battle is not ours, but God's. And this is a really great example of it. In 2 Chronicles, not 2 Corinthians, I think I said Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It says here, and it came to pass this after this also, that the children of Moab, It's kind of cool sometimes, if you like the Old Testament, to look and see who's the daddies and mommies of these nations. Where did the Moabites come from? We're not going to get into that now. And the children of Ammon, where did the Ammonites come from? What was that? I think it was a bear. Okay. With them other beside the Ammonites, the Moabites and the Ammonites and some other people beside the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat to battle. Now, Jehoshaphat, if you read back, he's the king of Judah. Now, Moab and Ammon, and later on we're going to find out that the Edomites are also involved. And if you don't have any idea of where these people lived, they're all from Pennsylvania. No, that's not true. No, actually, they are Moab and Ammon and Edom are kind of like where the country of Jordan is. And if you don't like geography, or if you do, you might want to buy yourself a simple atlas. So if you have any kind of idea of, you know, the Bible lands today, picture southern Israel, kind of, and then the country of Jordan, which is to the east of, you know, right around there. All these dudes are coming up to battle. Now, verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, the Dead Sea, on this side Syria, and behold, they be in this place, which is in En-Gedi. En-Gedi is a city on the west, a little city. Actually, it's nothing now, but years ago, it was a little town on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, Sea of the Dead Sea, about in the middle. So all these armies now are coming up, and Jehoshaphat did what?
Feared.
And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Is that a good idea? To seek the Lord when we're afraid?
Yes.
Can anybody give me a Bible verse on that? What is it? Who could quote it exactly? Okay, Chrissy, good. Right. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34:4. So here he has fear. And what is he doing? He's seeking the Lord. And that's a really good thing to do, isn't it? He's going to God with his problems. He wants help. Sometimes as we get older, I think we're so used to living with our problems, we don't want to get help with them sometimes. We get comfortable with where we're at, even though with where we're at is not so good. If there's something before this advance is over that we can help you, or back in the fellowships or whatever, we're a family, you know? And we don't have to live with stuff in our heart. Why live like that when deliverance is available, whether it's physical, mental, spiritual, whatever? It's okay to say, I need help. Okay. Now, repeat after me. I need help.
I need help.
That wasn't that hard, was it?
No.
I think all of us need help in a certain way, right? I need help finding food in the refrigerator sometimes. I need help in a lot of things. We all have situations. Now, this guy needed help. But you know, he'd made some mistakes in the past, old Jehoshaphat. Instead of going to the believers, this dude made an affinity with a certain very bad king in the Bible. He's way up in the hall of shame. And this guy, his name began with an A. Anybody know? Ahab. This guy made an affinity, Jehoshaphat, with one of the most rotten kings of all of Israel, and that was Ahab. Now, it looks like he's learned a little bit here because he's going to God and not Ahab. And that's a very good move because Ahab was out there. Now, he had some problems. Did Jehoshaphat had some problems? What happens when armies come and take over your territory? You might not be around to see what happens after that, right? You might be a slave. You might be dead. You might be lose all your family. You might have a stinking rotten life. That was a serious problem. Sometimes we have problems in life, you know, like gee, I didn't get my favorite table at the restaurant. Or, gee, this or that, or maybe I'm going to be late for the meeting, or this or that. This was life and death. Life and death. Life and death. So, let's look at verse 4. Somebody from the Bud Lake regions. Could you read this, please? Oh, nobody's here from there. Okay, next. Somebody here from the Bud Lake? Okay, yes, you. Go ahead. All right, so the king, he went to seek the Lord, and now what happened? Everybody went to seek the Lord. That's kind of good leadership, isn't it? He did it, and then everybody else wanted to do it. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Rulest thou not over the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand there is not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's really cool. These are questions that are like a figure of speech. He was asking these questions. Nobody could withstand thee. Who's he talking to? God. Jehoshaphat's talking to God. And he's telling God all these things. And it's probably good that Jehoshaphat's telling God this, right? It's good that he remembers it. Now, verse 7. Somebody read that.
Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?
Right. Art thou not our friend? Our what? Our God. Now that's a big deal. I want you to keep your finger here, and I want you to go to Genesis 17. So the king is talking to God here. He's talking to God, and he said, you know, nobody's going to be able to withstand you. Aren't you our God that drove out the people? Where did this idea come from that he was their God? Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17, and in verse, Genesis 17 and in verse 8. Now, here God is talking to Abraham. In verse 7, and God said, I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a what?
God
unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and unto thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their what?
God.
So whose idea is it that he's going to be their God? It's God's idea. He had the idea. He was going to be their God, and he was going to give this land to the seed of Abraham for an everlasting possession. So this land was given to them, and it went through Isaac, as we know. Now let's look here at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So this idea of God being God, was God the God of everybody? No, he was the God of the seed of Abraham. He was their God. And now, this seed of Abraham went through Isaac, and in Romans chapter 4, you guys know that what was that? In the Bible, when somebody sneezes, it means they're alive. It's an Old Testament record like that. Okay, so then that we are the seed of Abraham by believing. The Christ line ended with Christ, and Christ is in us. So, the seed of Abraham then, through Isaac, God was going to be their God. We are the seed in the believer's line by believing. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Who'd like to read that one? Okay, Alyssa, go ahead.
2 Corinthians 6, 16.
da 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 da. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Go.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
That's right. In the Old Testament, the believers through the seed of Abraham and Isaac, that was the believers' line. And God was to be their God. Now in this administration, God is the God of the Christian believer, the seed of Abraham by believing. Now, let's look here at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20. So Jehoshaphat is talking to God. There's a major need. They could get wiped out. They were about to be engaged in battle. Jehoshaphat seeks the Lord, and now he's talking to God. In verse 7, art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest to thy seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Well, you did this, and you gave it to their friend, you know, your friend. And, you know, here we are. And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary, the temple, therein for thy name, saying, if, when evil comes upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear. And what?
Help.
Look, you know, this is it. You know, if we do this, thou wilt hear and help. Who's he talking to?
God.
That's kind of cool. He's expecting some help. He's expecting a lot of help. Now, let's keep your finger here. Look at Psalm 46. Look at how he's praying. Look at how the people here are seeking God in a very, very fearful situation. The evidence, the facts aren't looking too good. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. Who'd like to read this one? Okay, Joel, go ahead. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. That's right. God is our what?
Refuge.
God is our refuge. Look at his heart. Check this out. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am who?
God.
And I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. If we want to get revelation from God, we better be peaceful. We better be peaceful. Because we want God to help us. God is our refuge. One way that God helps us is to direct us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? And one way he directs our path is with the word. Another way he can direct our path is with revelation. And we need to be still to know God, because there's that still small voice. Psalm 56. So, God helps. God helps. He answers prayer. He wants to bless us. God delivers. Psalm 56, verse 9 through 13. Who'd like to read this? Okay, the school teacher in the back, Carmen, go ahead. Yes.
When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies come back. This I know, for God is for me.
Okay, read that one again. We like that one. Go ahead.
When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me.
God is for who?
Me.
God is for who?
Me.
God is for who?
Me.
Okay, keep going.
In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God, I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?
It's really great, isn't it, those? Okay, let's look back at 2 Chronicles. God delivers. Those were his chosen people back then. He was going to fight for them, protect them. And they're praying and they want help. They want help. Jehoshaphat had made some mistakes in the past and he wants help. He's asking God for some help. Watch this. Verse 10. It says, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir." The Edomites were associated with Mount Seir. That's in the southern part there, underneath Moab and Ammon. Southern Jordan right now. "And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade." Hey, we could have wiped them out before. We could have gone into Russia back then, Jimmy. Look at this. It said, "And when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned..." Wait, let me read this again. "And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not." We could have wiped them out a long time ago and we didn't, and now we have this problem because we didn't do it. "Behold, I say, now they reward us to come to cast us out of your possession. You gave us the land which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God," remember God wanted to be their God, "wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon" who? We have no might. We're not strong enough. We don't know enough. We're not strong enough, we don't know enough to be able to deal with, but our eyes are upon thee. Do you remember what Aneta taught about Peter when he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and the promise of God that Jesus Christ made to him? He was doing fine. As soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at the situation, they said, "Here, we're not looking at all this. We know it's there. Our eyes are upon you." And that's a really important thing. We all have situations in life. Do we choose to focus on the situation, or do we choose to focus on God who is able to deliver? Look at this. "Our eyes are upon thee." Turn your eyes on Jesus. There's a book I read one time. Verse 13. Now, it says here, "And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children." Now, was this a tough situation? Potentially, definitely life-threatening. Life-threatening, and the facts sucked, quote unquote. But the truth is different. Verse 14, who'd like to read this one? Anybody? What? What's so funny about that? Let me see. Okay, Jill, go ahead. Verse 14. Now I know why all you guys didn't want to read. Jill's got guts, that's all I can say. So all those dudes when their names... Let's look. He was a Levite, and the Spirit of the Lord, it came upon him in the midst of the congregation. So Jehoshaphat's praying. The people sought the Lord. Jehoshaphat's talking to God. And now the answer from God is coming. The revelation in the situation, the word to do in this situation is coming. Watch this. "And he said," this guy speaking for God, "Hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat," you listen up. "Thus saith" who?
The Lord.
"Thus saith" who?
The Lord.
You never say, thus saith the Lord, unless you really know it is thus saith the Lord. Here, it was thus saith the Lord unto you. Be not afraid or be dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle, is not yours, but who? That's pretty good, isn't it? The battle is not yours, but God's. God's pretty big, isn't he? Remember, he did all these things. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. It's by Newark. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. And listen to this, ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves and run around. And do what? Just go down there, hang out, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not. This is God's battle, not yours. Just go down there and watch. Fear not, not be dismayed for tomorrow. Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, I want you to know, though, there's other records of battles in the Old Testament where the children of Israel had to do more than this, right? Sure is. This situation, they had to go there and stand still. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. This is really good news, wasn't it? They got some answers. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites, of the children of the Korites, stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe in his prophets, so shall ye what? They had God's word. All they had to do was believe it, go down there, stand, and God was going to do the rest. We have God's word right here. We need to believe it. Now watch this. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. The singers led the army down there. That's kind of cool. Leaning on the everlasting arms, they were playing. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Look at the position that song and singers had in this. They were to go first. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, the Edomites, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy what? They were just singing some songs down there, and just all of a sudden, all these dudes started to fight amongst themselves. They got confused and wiped each other out. And they didn't do a thing. The Lord fought the battle. And they were just having a good time. Watch this. Now, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none did what? Did God fight their battle? Sure did. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of spoil, and it was so much. They just watched these guys kill themselves, and then they went over, and it took them 3 days to get the spoil away. Better than deer hunting, I would say. Now, watch this. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of this guy, for they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the valley of this guy unto this day. And they returned every man to Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. With what? Joy, because there was deliverance. For the Lord hath made them to rejoice over their what? And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the respect of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of what? God delivered them. They didn't have to do a thing, but basically go down there and stand. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. The prophet or whoever this guy was promised them the victory. All they had to do was go down there, do what the guy said, stand there and watch it happen. And it happened. They destroyed themselves. They went over there, got all the riches, and went home and praised God. That's really good, Juan. That's really, really good. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. If you're tired, just stand up. Albert will pour some water on you over there. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. Proverbs 21, verse 31. Anybody like horses in here? Okay. Rebecca, why don't you read 31? Back then, horses were like tanks. They were like, that's how they fought. Okay, Proverbs 21, 31. Go ahead. Oh, I can't hear you. You got to like really sing it loud. Sing it proud. Go ahead.
The horse is prepared against the day of battle. Safety is of the Lord.
Right. Sense, knowledge, preparation. But safety is of the Lord. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In that situation, there was tremendous fear. They went to God, and then God had someone tell them the word. They promised them the victory, and all they had to do was believe it. Walk in on it, carry it out, and they were delivered. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2, 14. God is faithful to his word. If it never comes to pass, it's still his word. They said, I'm not smart enough. They said, we don't know enough. We're not strong enough. Please help us. God wants his people delivered. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Who'd like to read this? Michael, go ahead.
2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place.
Always causes us to triumph in Christ. Does that mean I could go to Atlantic City and this that verse, I'll guarantee? Triumph in who?
Christ.
All the accomplished works of Jesus Christ. We triumph. He won the victory. Well, let's see what kind of victory he won. And this is very simple. This is similar to the other one because God promised the victory. It was theirs. All they had to do was to do it. Jesus Christ gave us this victory. He won it. All we have to do now is believe it. He accomplished it. And now God has promised that he will bring that deliverance in manifestation. We just need to walk out on it because the battle is ours. Ephesians 4. Some of you guys in my fellowship have heard this before, but a second dose of it is pretty good. Now, 2 Corinthians, what did I say? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Bob, could you look up 1 John 4:4? Chrissy, could you look up 1 Peter 5:7? Ephesians 4:8. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Okay, who wants to read that? Elkie. Jesus Christ won the victory. We have the victory. Everything that captivates us is gone. He won. Like Jim taught, we have deliverance from the world. We have deliverance from Satan. Like Anita taught, we have deliverance from fear. We don't have to be afraid anymore. We don't have to be afraid to love anymore. We don't have to be afraid to take a chance and try to help somebody along the way. If I'm trying to love Renee and I'm trying to help her or just want to be her friend, I can go over and try to be friendly, right? You know, I don't have to, I can not be afraid to love. Whenever we love, we take a chance, don't we? We try. If I'm going to reach out to somebody, maybe they don't want any part of me. But that's okay too, because they miss out. If we're all afraid to love or all afraid to reach out, then we're not going to get close to each other. If people in the world, we can't be afraid to love. We can't be, if I want friends, I ought to show myself friendly, right? Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man who hath friends must show himself friendly. You want friends? Be a friend. You want love? Give some love. You want some help? Go and help somebody. But when we love, we take a risk. What happens if that person doesn't respond to me? But you know what? Is that a risk worth taking? It sure is. It sure is. He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The fight is over. We have the victory. All we need to do is walk on it. 1 John 4:4. Bob, read that.
1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
This is the victory that Jesus Christ got for us. We're triumphant in Christ. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We are dealing with a defeated enemy. We are dealing with a defeated adversary. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Every devil spirit, every evil thing in the world, every whatever that's spiritual like that, it has greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. The victory is ours. We are dealing with a defeated enemy. Just like in 2 Chronicles, God fought their battles. The prophet said, all you got to do is do this, and he'll take care of it. It's been taken care of in Christ. Now we need to believe the word and then walk out on it. Okay, Chrissy, go ahead. That's right. Stuff happens. Shit happens. Shit hits the fan. Excuse my language. And you know what? What do we do? Do we say, I'm big enough, I can handle it, I'm good enough, I'm wise enough, I'm whatever? Or do we go to God? Do we go to his word? Or do we also have the guts enough sometimes to go to somebody and say, you know, I need help? Okay, read the next verse.
1 Peter 5:8. That's
right. And why do lions roar? Lions, they go around, they go, rah! And they do that for people sleeping during teachings. And they also do that because they want to get you scared. But don't forget, this roaring lion is a beaten lion. It's a lion that's beaten. But unless we know that, it will try to beat us. It's a defeated adversary in Christ. God delivers. God delivers us from the world. He delivers us from fear. He delivers us from condemnation. We have deliverance from hell and every other thing. We just need to stand still, believe his word, and walk out on it, whatever we need to do in the situation. We run around way too much and believe his word way too much. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. God's deliverance, God's love, God's goodness. Man, what a wonderful life. I remember when I first got in the Word, John 10:10, turn me on. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it how?
More abundantly.
That means no fear, no condemnation, good health. All these different kind of things are promised in God's word. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What a privilege we have to live the life that Jesus Christ came to promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Bob, you got those there?
2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Keep going.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
In the Old Testament, it was a physical battle. Now it's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness or wicked spirits on high. But that battle is won. Stand ye still. Do whatever you need to do according to the word, but we need to believe the word. These are the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We need to control our minds and believe the word of God. Believe the word of God and watch God come to bring his word to pass. In that battle in the Old Testament, God promised deliverance. In the New Testament, it's more than promised deliverance. It's delivered already. We just need to walk in on it and really appreciate what we have. Yesterday, we read a couple chapters in God's word. When you read the church epistles, it's God speaking about us. We're the believers, we're on high, and all those different things. John 8:32. We can walk with power. God fights our battles, and the battle has been won in Christ. The battle is won in Christ. He has the victory. He's won the victory. John 8:32. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Was it true in Jesus Christ's time?
Yes.
It sure is true today. You know why this weekend has been so great? Because there's been freedom in our hearts. There's been peace. There's been joy. There's been God's word living in our hearts to the end that we believe his word and can love and can get the need and the help that we, you know, the help that we need and desire. It's been a great week, you know, and we've tasted a little bit of the love of God, haven't we? We've tasted a little bit of God's joy. You know, there was believers like playing cards and screaming at the top of their lungs in the dining room till I don't even know what time you guys were there. You know, and I was thinking, am I going to go over there and ruin the party and say, gotta go? You know, and I was so blessed because they were so blessed playing this dumb game and screaming. I mean, if you get attacked by a squirrel on the way up there, it's because that squirrel didn't sleep at all last night. And we're free to have a good time, free to enjoy life, free to get blessed. Why not? Why not? And we're free to help others along the way too. And to close, look at Romans. Chapter 8. God's deliverance. God said, I'll fight your battles. This battle is mine. In this administration, Jesus Christ won the victory. We just need to go in on it. And God answers prayer. And we just need to believe his word. He's promised it. The guy stood up and promised victory. We got all these promises. And we have revelation. Why not go for it like Milagros? You know, she had some disappointments along the way, but she recognized she needed God's word. You know, why do we sit, you know, why sit here till we die, quote unquote? Why don't we really live the life that Jesus Christ came to promise? Why don't we take what we learned here this weekend and really live it in our life and help people with the greatness of God's word? Here's a verse. It's a pretty cool verse. Romans chapter 8 and in verse 31. The close of the book of Romans here in the doctrinal section. The close of no condemnation. No condemnation to all believers who they're righteous. Whether I'm in fellowship, out of fellowship, God still doesn't condemn me, does he? No, he doesn't. No condemnation in Christ. In Christ, in the sense of we have it in our sonship. Now look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, what?
Who can be against us?
Remember that verse in the Old Testament? God is for me. If God be for us, what?
Who can be against us?
Let's do this little cheer here. Ready? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? Who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? No one, no one, no one. Is that true?
Yes.
If we believe that as we leave here and we go back, and we really believe if God be for us, who can be against us? And when we come up in those choices in life where we need to choose, if God be for us, who could be against us? Believe that. Believe the scriptures in our lives. And God will bring his word to pass because he's a God of deliverance. And in Christ, Jesus Christ has won the battle already. So, Father, thank you for the wonderful weekend. Thanks for everybody here. And Father, thank you for your word and for how faithful you are to bring the promises to pass. Thank you that you are a faithful God, and I'm very thankful, Father, that we have had the opportunity in our lives to taste of your grace and your mercy. And I pray, Father, that we can stand on your word and share it faithfully with others. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.